In the meantime, Saul kept up his violent threats of murder against the followers of the Lord. He went to the high priest and asked for letters of introduction to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he should find there any followers of the way of the Lord, he would be able to arrest them, both men and women, and bring them back to Jerusalem. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, suddenly a light from the sky flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus, whom you persecute," the voice said. "But get up and go into the city, where you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with Saul had stopped, not saying a word. They heard the voice but could not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground and opened his eyes but could not see a thing. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. For 3 days he was not able to see, and during that time he did not eat or drink anything.
There was a Christian in Damascus named Ananias. He had a vision in which the Lord said to him, "Ananias." "Here I am, Lord," he answered. The Lord said to him, "Get ready and go to Straight Street, and at the house of Judas, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come in and place his hands on him so that he might see again." Ananias answered, "Lord, many people have told me about this man and all the terrible things he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come to Damascus with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who worship you." The Lord said to him, "Go, because I have chosen him to serve me, to make my name known to Gentiles and kings and to the people of Israel. And I myself will show him that all that he must suffer for my sake." So Ananias went, entered the house where Saul was, and placed his hands on him. "Brother Saul," he said, "the Lord has sent me, Jesus himself, who appeared to you on the way here. He sent me so that you might see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." At once something like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he was able to see again. He stood up and was baptized, and after he had eaten, his strength came back.
Saul preaches in Damascus. Saul stayed for a few days with the believers in Damascus. He went straight to the synagogues and began to preach that Jesus was the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and asked, "Isn't he the one who in Jerusalem was killing those who worship that man Jesus? And didn't he come here for the very purpose of arresting those people and taking them back to the chief priests?" But Saul's preaching became even more powerful, and his proofs that Jesus was the Messiah were so convincing that the Jews who lived in Damascus could not answer him.
So what is God doing in your life right now? We've witnessed what God is doing in other people's lives. I guess it may be a question you've maybe thought about, maybe not. But I've got a little video for you to watch, because your answer might be something, your answer might be nothing. But in the video, it's just going to ask you to count, it's like a basketball thing, but the white, people in the white t-shirts, how many passes they make.
How many passes did you count?
Okay, how many did you count? 15. How many did you count? 15. 15, 12, 25. Okay, let's run the video and see who was right.
The correct answer is 15 passes.
Give yourselves a round of applause. Well done, you passed the test. But did you see the gorilla?
Yeah.
You saw the gorilla. Who didn't see the gorilla? Quite a lot of you. Well, watch very carefully, because this is the most obvious thing you've seen in your life. Okay, if you've seen it before, then you won't be duped twice. But if you haven't seen that and you genuinely do follow the white passes, then you will not see that gorilla. When I first saw it, I couldn't believe it. I thought somebody was winding me up. Or they just changed the video or something. But when you watch it back from the beginning, it is exactly as the rewind says. But, you know, I guess for me, the reality is of life is that God is the gorilla in that video, isn't it? Because we either don't see it because we're not looking for him, or that we're unable to see him because we're distracted by other things. That's probably about the truth, because there's a Bible verse I just want us to look at briefly, and I'm not going to be long this morning. It's from the book of Romans, and it's where a guy makes an argument for God's existence from the creation that we can actually see. And what he says is, he says, God's anger is shown from heaven against all the evil and wrong things people do. By their own evil lives, they hide the truth. Now, when you read something like that, first of all, it's a bit of a shock horror moment, isn't it? Because God's anger doesn't sound a great thing to actually be writing. In fact, it probably confirms what maybe people think, that if there is a God, then he probably is quite an angry person. But I think I just need to explain that a little bit to you. And the reason is because in some of the other translations, it says God's wrath. Now, we get quite upset by it, but what it means is, it means revulsion against all that's evil. Now, you might even be horrified by that, but I bet you if you had your TV on this week and you saw those advertisements from Save the Children Fund with pictures of children in Yemen on your TV screen, you would have felt anger and revulsion at the injustice of it, against the wrongness of it. If you had the power, you'd want to do something about it, to change it, to perhaps punish those that were responsible, or to make it very, very different. So I hope you can see that God's anger is not like our anger, where it's out of control. It is a revulsion for everything that is evil in this world. And you imagine God, who can see everything that takes place on this world, every evil act, every evil thought that is in people's minds or actions, can you imagine the revulsion that that would create? For us to even glimpse something like that, we would be completely angry about it and would want to do something about it. But it goes on, doesn't it? It says, because of their evil lives, they hide the truth. That basically is the reason, like in that gorilla thing, that we don't see God. Because our lives, either we're not looking for him, we're ignoring him, or we're just distracted by our own ideas or by other things in life, what we want to get out of it, that we fail to see who God is. It says God shows his anger because some knowledge of him has been made clear to them. Now, that might come as a bit of a shock, isn't it? Because if you don't believe in God, you're thinking, well, how's that happened? I don't see God at all. I don't believe in him. So how has that been made clear to me? And it says, yes, God has shown it to him. He said there are things about him that people cannot see, obviously, because he's God and far bigger and beyond our understanding. His eternal power and all the things that make him God. But here's one thing that the Bible is very, very clear about. It says, but since the beginning of the world, those things have been easily to understand by what God has made. In other words, the fact of our existence, the amazing incredibility of our human life, the system that we are being given to live in within the world that we live in. We're a fragmented, tiny dot in a huge cosmos that is so ordered and so understandable as well. I'm not a scientist, but I do dabble a little bit as a very casual person. So if you are a scientist, I apologize at my very lame explanations, Jonathan, who is our resident physicist. But Einstein himself said the fact that our brains have come up with mathematics and that we can explain the universe in a very orderly and almost perfect way with mathematics, he said, actually needs explaining itself. He said the two things point to the fact almost that there is something behind this world that has created it, that the mathematics is actually there. But do you know what we often are blinded to, the Bible calls our spiritual deadness or our spiritual blindness. And we might think it, in Saul's story, it needed a miraculous intervention for him to see that God was a reality, that Jesus Christ was real. And you know, that's what God has done. 2,000 years ago, God entered into our world. The Bible says the light of the world has come into it to show humanity who God is. But human beings, it says, still loved the darkness. They still like to be blind to who God is because they like to do things their way, which is actually the fundamental problem with human beings, isn't it? We all want to do it our own way. But you know, Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, lived among us and ultimately died upon a cross to take the punishment for every sin, every act of evil that any human being has ever done. And in doing that, showed an incredible love for every single human being. Because every human being matters to God a great deal. And his greatest desire is that you too will be saved. That you too will have your eyes opened. And it's not that God's withholding himself from you, because actually, that's our choice. Because the minute somebody says, God, I want to know you, or I believe, then the experience of knowing God personally through Jesus Christ becomes something very real in your life. That's what's happened with Gillian, with Claudia, with Alana, and with Samuel. That's what's happened with millions upon millions and millions of people across the world. Now, we can't prove that scientifically, you know, that God exists. But surely the testimony of millions of people, all with a similar experience, that said, Jesus is alive, he's touched my life, he's forgiven me my sins, and he's making a difference to it, must actually count for something. So really, the choice is ours, isn't it? To see God as that, like the gorilla in the room. If I replay that video, you would see that gorilla as obvious, as plain as day, you'd see it. And that's how God will be the moment that you come to him and admit your need of him, that you are spiritually blind and you need him to enable you to see. Jesus Christ said, anyone who comes to me and asks, he would never turn away. You know, but Jesus also promised that we'll find deeper meaning in life through knowing him, our purpose, not just about making some money or doing our very best or raising a good family and all these very great things. But Jesus said also, he warned us that there are eternal consequences for rejection of what's plainly obvious. He said there will be eternal separation from God at some point in the future. And the Bible calls that hell. That's what it is. Being separated from the life of God. So how thankful should we be that we can see and we're not in that place. But if you've never met Jesus Christ, then I would just really encourage you. And we've got today at the door, there's a free booklet that I'd love you to take one. It's just called Connection. It's a really simple, very straightforward read. It explains what it really means to know Jesus Christ for yourself. Please do take one if you want one as you leave. Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you entered this world to bring the light that we might truly see who you are. And I pray today that you will open blind spiritual eyes to you. Help us to see our need of you, that you're not actually doing nothing, but you are holding out your hands to us as you always do and saying, come, come and know me, for I am good. Come and know my peace. Come and know my love, my forgiveness. And I just want to finish by saying that, you know, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, then his hands are extended to you today with that offer of forgiveness and eternal life. But he always leaves the choice with you. Amen.